This is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. I don't know, whatever you say for Hanukkah. You know, is it Ramadan? I don't know. Whatever you celebrate, have a good one, okay? It is I, the celebrity medium, with the final Celebrity Afterlife Report, not forever, just for the year 2017. I'm going to give you a quick roundup of some of the big stories that happened this year, just to kind of catch up the late arrivals, just so you can head into 2018, knowing what happened. All right, I can't even go into all of the even big stories that happened in the year 2017. So I'm just going to go down and give you a quick description of some of the biggest ones. Well, way back nearly a year ago, Adolf Hitler first got in the news in the afterlife. Well, for the first time in a long time. He had been in self-imposed exile. Very, very sorry and remorseful for all the horrible things he did on the earthly plane. And the tabloids finally found out where he was. He was in the woods living all by himself. And some reporters went in there and kind of found him and got him to open up a little bit. And it turned out he was extremely sorry about everything he'd done, as I said, and felt ashamed to be in society. But he was kind of reluctantly dragged out, and he publicly renounced all of his evil deeds as a Nazi. And eventually, over time, he became best friends with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I know, kind of an odd couple, yes, but they are united in their opposition to hatred and racism of all kinds. And that's been a very interesting friendship as the year developed. I'm sure there's more to come, but we'll get back to them in just a moment. Another big story that was on our radar this year was Fred Trump, father of President Donald Trump. Way back, maybe even before the year 2017 started, we were following the story about Judy Garland. You know her from The Wizard of Oz. She was married and divorced 5 times on the earthly plane, and as a result was kind of soured on men. So she was attempting to start an all-female community in the next world. And she had blueprints and everything all drawn up. And in fact, the thing was under construction, which took some effort because she couldn't find male construction workers who were willing to work on it because they would not be allowed to live in the town. And they thought, why should I work on a project that I couldn't benefit from? Fred Trump stepped in and offered to help her. He said, I can get some guys to do this job. He found some workers who would do it. And subsequently, she fell in love with him. Judy Garland fell in love with Fred Trump. Now, that created some problems because she announced that she and Fred Trump were going to be the co-mayors of this allegedly all-female town. Women who were going to move into the town were even told that they couldn't bring their sons along with them. So, understandably, they were a little miffed about this whole, you know, co-mayor Fred Trump deal. And they kind of stomped out en masse, which kind of left the town hanging in the air. It eventually turned out that Fred Trump was really just using her to get the blueprints for the town once Judy Garland was out of the way. He conspired with his good buddy Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. Lindbergh was a known Nazi sympathizer when he was on the earthly plane, and the two of them decided to make it an all-white town, although they kept denying it. They kept saying, no, that's what we're doing at all, but it was what they were doing. That didn't go real well. And eventually, the aforementioned Adolf Hitler and Martin Luther King Jr. got involved in opposing the town, organizing boycotts and protests and so forth outside the walls of the gated community. Eventually, Fred Trump and Charles Lindbergh just kind of gave up on the whole thing and moved on to some other stuff, which also did not work out very well for them. But we'll get back to that in a moment, too. Now let's move on. Next, Steve Jobs and Jackson Pollock. I believe it was back in 2016 when Steve Jobs announced this major project he was going to do called iVironment. He had a blimp hangar-sized building, in which he had constructed a water park because it does not rain in the next world. Some people like a rainy day, so you could take your family there and go and enjoy rain because it rains inside the building on a regular schedule. There's also lazy river rides and all that kind of thing. Steve Jobs hired famous painter Jackson Pollock to do a giant mural for one end of the Environment Building, on the apparent assumption that Pollock was going to produce one of his famous drip paintings. However, when Pollock finally unveiled the mural, it was not a drip painting at all, but in fact a very realistic female nude. Steve Jobs objected to that, saying Environment was a family attraction. Pollock said, "I don't care. We had a handshake deal that whatever I painted, you would put up on the wall." Jobs tried to get out of it, saying, "Well, I didn't know what you were going to do." Pollock said, "I don't care." It was a whole mishigas. And that led into a long, protracted fight between the two of them. Eventually, Jobs just gave up on Environment in disgust, which created a vacuum, so to speak, into which stepped the artists Jean-Michel Basquiat and Salvador Dali. They came in to rescue the Environment project. They took it over and made it kind of more artistic. They had their problems also. They're very, Dali is very, very eccentric. Basquiat was kind of a unique kind of a guy. So, you know, they had their little, they had their disagreements. But things came to a head finally when they decided to make a movie inside Environment. Neither one of them having any filmmaking experience. Sounds like a bad idea? It was a bad idea. It was a crazy project. They had constructed a giant translucent replica of the Sphinx out of some kind of sort of wobbly, almost like a jello-like material. And it had not the face of the Sphinx, though. It had the face of Michael Jackson. To this day, nobody knows how that was going to figure into the movie or even exactly what the movie was actually going to be. When they realized they were way out of their league, they brought in famed director Stanley Kubrick. Kubrick said, "I'll help you, but you must give me complete 100% creative control over all aspects of the filmmaking." That means he could do whatever he wanted, and he proceeded to do that. It also meant he controlled basically the area in which the film was being made, i.e. Environment. Eventually, he kicked Basquiat and Dali out of their own building, which was not a happy thing for them, as you can understand. He ended up making a movie called Obsessive Behavior, which according to some people is an absolute masterpiece and perhaps the highlight of his entire filmmaking career, and according to others is an absolute train wreck, the plot of which you cannot follow. So take your pick. But that's where that ended up. He made a great movie, or a movie some people think is great, for which Salvador Dali is currently taking credit. He says he was the inspiration for the entire movie. Basquiat has not been heard from on the topic. The whole thing is, you know, goofy. Next, we move on to Vince McMahon Sr. Those of you who have been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report for some time know that Vince McMahon Sr., who is the father of the Vince McMahon that we all know, the chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment, Vince Sr. started a Shakespearean acting company in the afterlife. Originally, all the regular players in the company were former professional wrestlers. Some of them were quite good, I'm told. Some of them were, you know, not so great. But it was an interesting cast and an interesting way to produce Shakespeare. And in fact, Vince McMahon is in partnership with William Shakespeare himself in running the company. Now, eventually, they kind of branched out and brought in some non-former wrestler actors, which created the problem that we're currently having. Joni Lohrer, who wrestled under the name China, you may remember her, she objected to that. Robert Guillaume, who you remember from Benson, he was the lead actor in that, and a lot of, I think it was Sports Night he was on, and he did a lot of other well-regarded things. He was brought in as an actor. Joni Laura kind of feeling her oats after she got a lot of critical attention for being the female lead in The Taming of the Shrew, got a little pissy about Robert Guillaume being in there. Apparently that was the straw that broke the camel's back. So she kind of went on strike. Now, as far as I know, she is still on strike from the company, which, of course, would like to have her back because they're coming off a hiatus to go back on the road to do more shows of The Taming of the Shrew. They'd like to have her back. Something's going to have to be worked out there. We don't know what that something is going to be. Next, Jim Morrison. Poor Jim Morrison. Former singer for The Doors. I'm sure you're aware of that. Jim was in a band called The Legends. The Legends had people in it like Jimi Hendrix and what's-her-face there, the singer whose name is escaping me at the moment. Everybody in the band was a huge rock star back on the earthly plane. Jim Morrison decided, however, that he was the main attraction of the band and became a royal pain in the ass. Eventually it got to the point where nobody could stand him, so they kicked him out of the band unceremoniously. He then formed a new band called The Real Legends. Everybody was very excited to see what that was going to be. It turned out to be Jim Morrison and a bunch of lookalikes for the people in The Legends. That was not well received at all. That didn't go over well at all. So that collapsed. He tried to turn them into a disco band. I don't even know where we're at that at this moment. Poor Jim. Jim went on to do a bunch of TV shows that were sort of increasingly demeaning. He ended up being a sidekick on a kids show, and that wasn't working out. Jim Morrison's career has been in a downward spiral for the entire year of 2017. Now, lastly, Andy Griffith, Jim Nabors, and Don Knotts. Don Knotts, who of course played Barney Fife on the original Andy Griffith Show, is very buff these days. He's a physical fitness nut and barely looks like his old self. He's not a very big guy to this day. He's not tall, but he's really muscular. So he really doesn't look like the character he used to play. When Andy Griffith arrived in the next world, Don Knotts kind of cornered him and said, we should do a revival of the old show. Andy Griffith, according to Friends, was skeptical of that idea because of how different Don looks like these days. It's really tough for him to play Barney Fife at this point, so Andy Griffith kind of politely blew him off. When Jim Nabors arrived, Don had a representative go talk to him, and Jim Nabors, not knowing what Don Knotts looked like these days, said, oh, I'd love to do the old show again. That'd be fantastic. He has since met Don Knotts, and we don't really know exactly what he thinks about it, but he made a verbal commitment to doing the show, so Andy Griffith was approached again. Andy Griffith said, well, yeah, I'll do it, but only if I can just do all my scenes for the entire season in one quick shot over the course of like a week, and then I can just go back into being in retirement. So that's where that stands at the moment. There are a lot of other stories going on, but it's even hard for me to summarize them all and even remember them all because it's been so much. We're going to take the next 2 weeks off for the holidays, but we will be back in 2018. There'll probably be updates to some of these stories. There'll probably be updates to other stories that I didn't mention just now. I know there's going to be new stories because there's always stuff going on in the afterlife celebrity scene. I would like to make sure to ask you to come back in a couple of weeks and join us when we start the show all over again. I so look forward to that. I look forward to having you. I want to thank the people at K-Chung Radio, AM 1630 in Los Angeles, for carrying us. You can also find the show on iTunes, in the Google Play Store, and on YouTube. Have yourself a merry, happy, pleasant, joyous, whatever. I'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. I am a celebrity medium. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-369-3732.